Turning your Bibles this morning to the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Two books before Matthew, not Zechariah, but Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. The next to the last book in the Old Testament, two books before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 4. A brief summary of the background of Zechariah. He, with Haggai, is one of the two main prophets of the rebuilding of the temple in the 6th century B.C. Haggai is a prophet more concerned with the materialization of the temple. His sermons being very pragmatic to the purposes of means, methods, and men to build the temple of God. But whereas Haggai is preaching regarding the materialism of the temple, so also is Zechariah. Yet Zechariah is a prophet who looks beyond the material temple to the immaterial temple. And I must qualify that idea of the immaterial temple in a couple of ways. Certainly, when we see the temple, the second temple in this case, in 600 roughly B.C., we understand that that second temple, like the first temple of Solomon, is a foreshadowment of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, you are built together for an habitation of the Spirit as an holy temple of God. So the church of God is a temple made of living spiritual stones. And of this, Zechariah did prophesy. But as an apocalyptic prophet, apocalyptic prophets may find their fulfillment localized, spatialized, materialized in space and time. But apocalyptic literature, even if it consummates materially, such as Zechariah's prophecy of the second temple being completed, yet projecting forward to the spiritual temple of the church of God, which is now materially coming together stone upon stone. Even when an apocalyptic prophet finds fulfillment dually in something now and yet beyond. The ultimate fulfillment of apocalyptic literature is always more than you or I can possibly imagine. Let me illustrate it for you here in this doctrine of the temple as prophesied by Zechariah. Yes, indeed, he is encouraging Israel to the fulfillment of the second temple. Yes, indeed, he is pointing forward to the spiritual temple of the New Testament Zion. But he is pointing forward beyond that. For what shall it be when these living spiritual stones, which now constitute the temple of the living God, are resurrected in perfection and materially enter into the perfect holiness of God? And beyond that, not only shall we be in that third dimension of temple experience, but a fourth dimension as well. For we shall not only be holy materially, but our glory shall be infused with more glory still. The living, spiritual, eternal glory of God filling the material glory of the church of God in eternity. Glory surpasses glory in the consummate fulfillment of apocalyptic literature. Now, if you look at Zechariah chapter 4, I want to tell you how I got to this text today. And I want all the little children who are in the play to please stand. If you're in the play, please stand. And I want to tell you what a wonderful job you did yesterday. But then I want you to listen to this verse, because the Lord gave me my sermon through you. You remember in the play yesterday when you were talking about little things like David's sling? Or do you remember the torch and the bowl and the trumpet from the walls of Jericho? Or how about other little things in the Bible, like the jawbone of an ass that Samson used to kill many of the enemies of God? Or Gideon's few in the book of Judges, where just a few were used mightily by God? And God help us from having the prophet complex. But as I survey Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, I see the true prophets of God alone, singular, and followed by few. The day of Pentecost is the rare exception. It is the rugged Elijah and John, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and yes, in this case, Zechariah, who stand alone against the gainsaying world. So children, thank you for being God's instrument in giving me my sermon yesterday. You may be seated. Now, look, if you will, please, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Now, what am I driving at? First of all, I've begun the sermon articulating a doctrine of the temple. And secondly, with Zechariah raising the question, for who shall despise the day of small things? Dear church, if we ever lay hold of the fact that we are praying to God, if we ever lay hold of the fact that the power of God is in us, if we ever really and truly enter into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, spiritually experienced by the power of the Holy Ghost, this small thing will be a means of building the temple of the living God. This text is about a small thing. It's about many small things that come together in the 6th century B.C. to bring honor and glory to the God of Israel. In chapter 4, verse 1, we note first the angel. And this angel who speaks to Zechariah is no mere angel. No burning seraphim, no terrible cherubim. This is the angel of the covenant, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself. And where He comes to Zechariah by body strange, in vision strange, in profound impression upon the heart and mind in ecstatic vision, I do not know. But this is the angel of the covenant coming to Zechariah, listen carefully, to confirm something unto him. The angel of the covenant is coming to Zechariah to tell him, Zechariah, you see the temple there, a building. Let me assure you, and thus you assure Israel, that as the hand of Zerubbabel has begun to lay the foundation and raise the walls of this temple, that though it be temporarily halted, he that laid the foundation of the temple will raise its walls and complete it to the end. Now the angel of the covenant communicating this to Zechariah was a means of promise and hope for the people of God who had grown weary in the building of the temple. But the angel of the covenant himself comes to them and says the temple will be built. And eventually it is. And so when Zechariah preached to the Israelites as they surveyed the temple being erected, his message was a message of hope. That he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, dear church, in the same way that in the medias res, in the middle of the building of the temple, the angel of the covenant confirmed that it would be done, and by the angel's grace and power, it was done. May I ask you to survey the history of the Church of the Living God? In every century, do you not see stone upon stone? Do you not hear the hammer of the great mason of heaven? Do you not see the glorious crimson mortar of His work through 2 millennia of the Church of the Living God? We may weep like Nehemiah in this generation that the walls of this temple are broken down and its gates burned with fire. But the fact that the hammer of God has fallen for 2,000 years, that there is stone upon stone in the Church of the Living God. And even now our eyes survey the work of our great temple builder, the same angel of the covenant that encouraged Zechariah, saying, survey the temple unfinished, be assured it shall come to completion, stirs and encourages our hearts to look upon this spiritual temple of living stones and take heart and hope that this God who is building this temple of living spiritual stones will indeed bring this work to fruition. This is a basis for great hope, for revival, for the Church of the Living God. I cannot read the book of Nehemiah without weeping as Nehemiah wept when he surveyed Jerusalem and saw the walls broken down and the gates thereof burned with fire. And is this not a commentary upon our generation when the pearly gates of God's glory and the high crimson walls of Christ's perfect sacrifice are broken and burned by the errors and heresy and apostasy of men? Yet if our hearts will be moved as Nehemiah's heart was moved, if our hearts will be stirred by the voice of the angel of the covenant, as Zechariah's was stirred, we can believe again with hope that God will rebuild that which is broken and burned in the Church of God today. This is the angel of the covenant that testifies to Zechariah hope that the temple will be completed. And Zechariah's eyes, with all the eyes of the children of Israel, attest that the work of God has begun. And history tells us that the work of God was completed. And this is a testimony to us to hope for the ongoing and ultimately the completed work of Christ in the church. May we stand together. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the stone in the hand of Zerubbabel. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that in our smallness we will not despise the day of small things, not the stone's view, but that we could take hope and trust in the angel of the covenant. That as he visited Israel with the promise of new work to begin on an old project, that we can hear the voice of our Savior promising his church in all generations that his work is not finished. That in due season he raises up Zechariah's, Nehemiah's, servants of God to build the holy temple. And dear Father, we think that we live in a land and day like Zechariah's, like Nehemiah's, when the temple work is weak and the temple walls burnt and broken. Dear Father, we have no hope but the angel of the covenant. And it is for his work that we pray. It is for his inspiration that we plead. And it is for his presence through us in the work that we hope. And we ask this in Christ's name.